Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast. Hope you enjoy it. It's brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for something unique, Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Check them out at Lakewood Chev. Mike Greenlee, former NHL player, now analyst for the Minnesota Wild, as they get set to host the St. Louis Blues on Wednesday. Mike, were you ever on a team for any extended period of time that simply could not win in another team's rink?
Trying to remember. As a player, I can't recall that well, but I know that, remember there was a time when Minnesota could not win in Edmonton, and then there was a time where they couldn't lose in Edmonton. Same went with Calgary, couldn't win in Calgary for a long time. Then they couldn't lose. So yeah, it's kind of weird how, and you know what, you can break it down all you want and look at the numbers and the players. And a lot of times, the Wild couldn't win in Dallas for years. And now all of a sudden they can. And we're talking about different coaches, players, everything. And I don't know. I can't explain it because there's no reason for it other than maybe a mental block or something.
Well, yeah, you always wonder if or how much that plays a factor at all. This time of year now, Mike, everything comes into matchups and teams and coaches. They break down the opposition much more than they would have earlier in the season. St. Louis and Minnesota met 5 times this season, and looks like they split it right down the middle. Minnesota went 2-2-1, so obviously St. Louis. I guess they won 3 games, but one's in a shootout, which obviously won't happen now in the regular season. So you just look at the matchup regular season wise, and I know maybe it's different or not, but how do you see Minnesota? What's one advantage you think they have in a matchup head to head against the Blues?
I would say not from any certain area, but area of the game like power play or penalty kill or whatnot, because that seems to have a different connotation in playoffs, but I think just their speed. I mean, I think the Wild are a speed team. They're a team that if they're playing at a high pace, they're a tough team to contain. And we've seen St. Louis over the years, and they haven't changed drastically from Hitchcock to Yo in terms of how they play. They're still a stingy team, and how you be a stingy team as you're physical and you box out well and you're able to slow teams down a little bit. And for the Minnesota Wild, if they're playing at their speed, it's going to be tougher for St. Louis to do that. So we'll see. I think for the Wild, that would be one of their benefits.
Now, the Wild did not have a great month of March. Mike, having watched that team as close as you have all season long, what wasn't happening in March that had been happening in the previous 5 months?
Yeah, it was like, who are you guys and what did you do with the Minnesota Wild? It was that bad. I mean, but it was basically a team that I think they got away from what they were all about. At the beginning of the season, Bruce Boudreau, when he first met with the team, said, listen, we're probably not going to have the Art Ross winner. We're not going to have the Rocket Richard winner. We're probably not going to get a lot of individual accolades because that's not how this team is structured or that's not what we have as a base of players. He said, but if we play a good system, we play a great style, we have depth and we can win games like that. And he was right. But when as the season went on, the Wild had a lot of success. They were scoring a ton of goals, which is historically not in their in their realm. And so they're scoring goals. They're limiting goals. Their goaltender's one of the best in the National Hockey League, statistically and every other way. And so I think what they did is they you start to cheat a little bit, and all of a sudden you want to score more, and all those things kind of play a role. And the fact that they hit a part of their schedule that was very busy where you really didn't have a lot of time to practice and work your way out of things like that. So they just kind of got into some bad habits and they got away from their game. I mean, when teams get away from their game, they just aren't as effective. So I think they're able to move towards finding that again at the end of the season, and we'll see if they're able to come all the way against a team like St. Louis, who has found their game without question in the last 6 weeks.
Well, and that's what I want to ask you about, because the Wild did win their final four games of the season, although some might say, well, it was twice Colorado and then Arizona and Carolina, teams that aren't in the playoffs, but you can't pick your opponents. You just got to beat them. Did you see signs? Because their offense definitely got back on track, scoring 17 goals in those final four games and only allowing nine. Was it just inferior opponents, or did you start to see some of the similarities and traits that you saw earlier in the year returning to their game?
You know what, it might have been a little bit of both, but the truth is that, you know, when you start feeling good about your game and doing the right things, a lot of times you're able to talk yourself into it, that not really being an issue or that doesn't matter. I think that they definitely, even before these last four games, had started to work towards being the kind of team that they were. I mean, even when they lost to Detroit in overtime, and then they lost their next game in overtime, but they started to move towards the type of team, the style of play, defending well. I mean, allowing, I think over that course of time, they were one of the stingiest teams in the league in terms of shots against. And so, you know, you started to see the structure come back, and you started to see a dedication to being a team that limits chances first, knowing full well that their depth will help them score goals and score enough goals to make everybody happy on the other side of it. So, yeah, some of it was the fact that they're facing inferior opponents. The other part of it, though, was I think that they legitimately started to play like the team that they need to be. So did they come far enough? Well, have to wait and see. I think playoffs have a way of elevating people's games that are good teams. I think the Wild are a good team, so hopefully they elevate it beyond what they need.
Mike Greenlee, former NHLer, analyst now for the Minnesota Wild, joins us. Wild and the Blues get going on Wednesday. Mike, you mentioned they weren't going to win the Art Ross or the Hart Trophy or probably even the Norris or anything, although Ryan Suter had another really good season. Devin Dubnyk was a Vezina finalist last year and was right in that conversation, I think, until some struggles early in March. But you know, you got Tarasenko, who's definitely the best pure finisher of the series in St. Louis. But after that, you know, the Wild, you got Granlund. Like, you've got some really good scorers as a team. Do you see every team maybe needs that one guy to step up? Who do you think is most likely to be that go-to clutch offensive productive player for the Wild in the playoffs, and why?
Well, from a consistency perspective, Granlund has been, but Granlund's not a, I don't know if Granlund's a consistent kind of player. I don't know if he's a game breaker per se in the way that you're talking about, I don't think. But, you know, Nino Niederreiter, oddly enough, has been that lately, scoring multiple goals in different games, and he's scored big goals in the playoffs for the Wild before. I mean, a few years ago, he scored, that overtime winner in Game 7 in Colorado, back when Colorado was the division winner. So I think Nino Niederreiter is starting to look like more of that game breaker type player. I wouldn't look past Eric Staal with the type of season he's had and the reason that the Wild are in where they are at, just because he offered the kind of depth. Jason Zucker, I think, could be that speedy guy who's got a nose for the net, loves to shoot the puck, loves to score. I wouldn't look past him either. So the Wild added, I think you made the point, the fact that you can look to so many guys, they had, what, four or five 50-plus point guys. They had, you know, how many 20 goal scorers, and Parise missed it by one. So, you know, they have a lot of depth and a lot of depth in scoring and a lot of depth in creativity. So that's what I think their real big strength will be ultimately, is if they have the type of team that you can maybe shut one line down, possibly, you know, mitigate another line. But, you know, to lock them all down from a 3-4 line perspective, it's unlikely to happen unless the Wild are doing it for you. And I think that they're going in the right direction, so that it'll be hard for them not to have production from a lot of lines.
Is it obviously going to be Suter on Tarasenko as much as possible?
Absolutely. You're going to see, and that's where home ice advantage will pay off, I think, for the Wild. Suter, but also Mikko Koivu and his line. You know, today it was Koivu, Koivu Granlund, which has been the two guys consistently all year, and Haula. And so we'll see if Zucker finds his way there. He played with them all year. But either way, they have, you know, speedy players, and they have the ability to shut down. So it'll be Koivu as a line, if you can, up against. And at home, you will be able to up against Tarasenko. And defensive pairings, you'll have Spurgeon and Suter up against them. And that's the kind of shutdown that the Wild really need against Tarasenko. Because when you look at their numbers, Tarasenko is far and away the scariest guy. I mean, they do have a good team. I'm not saying that. But he's the scariest guy offensively. You shut him down, and boy, look at the percentage of numbers that he's responsible for in relation to the team.
Yeah, well, definitely Tarasenko is a sniper, no doubt about it. For all of our pool fans out there, and Oiler fans haven't been in a pool in a long time where they really cared about it because their team's actually in it. The Wild, when it comes to their power play production, and you look at them, who are the guys, because we all know, you know, power play points are kind of the way to get a little bonus. Who's the go-to guys on Minnesota's power play?
I have a feeling you're going to see. Well, I mentioned him already. Nino Niederreiter. He's the kind of guy, if he gets a little bit loose in the middle, in the front of the net, he's got amazing hands. The interesting thing though is that, you know, the Wild at home this season have had a very good power play. On the road, they're terrible. So I don't know if that's really the big part of the Wild's production is their power play, but. If I'm going to pick someone, I'm going to probably pick a guy who's got size, great hands, and is parked right in front of the net, and that's Nino Niederreiter. But, you know, I'm sure Parisi would figure in there as well, and certainly Eric Staal. So those would be the guys that I'd lean on a little bit. And for sure, if you're going to pick defensemen, your suitor's going to play a lot of power play time.
And Eric Staal, speaking of him, 28 goals, a huge bounce back season for him. How has he looked down the stretch?
Best player all year, like from a consistent start to finish. Yes, he had a section of the season there where he wasn't producing. But if you were to look at it from an entire season perspective, and when the Wild went into that horrible month of March, he didn't seem to take a step back. He's the guy who was producing during that time, scoring a lot, getting things done. So, you know, Eric Staal has had a great season, and, you know, you can, from a guy that, you know, you don't have too many guys in the Wild who have won cups. I mean, I know Parisi's been to a final, but Eric Staal is the only guy who's won a cup. And so you could almost see in his eyes that he recognizes what it takes. And so with the season that he's had, recognizing what it takes to be successful in the playoffs, I think he'd be a guy that I definitely want to keep an eye on, because it certainly looks like he's got that hunger back this season in relation to what he's done in the past few.
Mike, as always, we really appreciate your time. Enjoy game one, the playoffs. Obviously, nothing better. Appreciate it.
Looking forward to it. Take care, guys.